Letitia James won this week's Democratic runoff and in all likelihood will be New York City's next public advocate. When the current occupant, Bill de Blasio, won the Democratic primary for mayor, many credited his campaign with sending the right message at the right time. That finely tuned approach was also well practiced. As WNYC's Bridget Bergen reports, as public advocate, Bill de Blasio honed many of the themes and techniques that led to his surprise primary victory.
My fellow New Yorkers, thank you so much.
Bill de Blasio was sworn in as public advocate on a frigid New Year's Day in 2010.
I had planned to present you with a broad and comprehensive vision for the future of our city. But given the weather, would you prefer the condensed version instead?
He spoke for 8 minutes, quoted Nelson Mandela, and said people no longer had to choose between a government that's efficient and a government that listens.
My office will be a place where the voice of the people speaks loudly, a place that helps organize communities to play a more meaningful role in our city government.
Indeed, his first move was to create a Department of Community Organizing. His staff would go door to door to build support for his causes. As for the advocate himself, a review of his 2012 schedules show his days often started before 8 and ended after 9. There were very few weekends off. Before unveiling new messages, he would test them out with advisors and constituents. There have only been two other public advocates. Mark Green was the city's first in the 1990s. He made headlines with high-profile lawsuits, like battling Joe Camel tobacco ads and suing the city for data on the NYPD's use of racial profiling. After a failed mayoral bid, Green ran unsuccessfully against de Blasio in 2009.
I think, holistically looking at how he did, there is a meager record of laws enacted, policies proposed, and successful lawsuits changing process.
De Blasio introduced more than 24 pieces of legislation. 2 became law. Betsy Gottbaum, who served through 2009, says she focused more on the ombudsman role, helping people fix problems with city agencies. Her office held town halls, but she says she wasn't about outreach the way de Blasio was.
Bill's a community organizer. I'm not.
She says the public advocate has been consistently constrained because of its small budget, which was slashed further after she came out against extending term limits.
It's crazy to have a citywide elected official who's supposed to be the watchdog over city services have the budget controlled by the mayor and then the speaker.
It went from $3.1 million in 2008 to about $2.25 million for most of de Blasio's term. But de Blasio made the most of limited resources. In just 2012, before he was an official mayoral candidate, he held more than 50 press conferences, nearly 160 scheduled media appearances, and held regular calls with high-profile editors. Then there were issues like fighting hospital closures and stop and frisk.
Everyone ready?
Ready.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm public advocate Bill de Blasio.
That was de Blasio last year, calling for the Bloomberg administration to immediately cut back on stop and frisk. But it was more than a press conference.
We are initiating today an organizing campaign. It will be citywide. It will involve all the people you see here and many more. Our goal, in short order, is to engage over 100,000 New Yorkers.
In the weeks leading up to the event, de Blasio met with former NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton and New Haven Police Chief Dean Esserman. His office also gave the New York Times a preview story. And for the rest of the week, de Blasio did half a dozen broadcast interviews and a media-wide conference call. For the weeks and months that followed, he was at rallies, marches, and even more press events. As he transitioned into the 2013 campaign, de Blasio stuck with a now well-honed message. Here's the first internet ad of his primary campaign. With ominous music in the background, it's Ray Kelly defending stop and frisk.
Really, African Americans are being understopped in relation to the percentage of people being described as being the perpetrators of violent crime.
That online ad was early in the primary season, but it connected with voters who opposed the police tactic, and those voters, by and large, supported de Blasio in the primary. The issue continues to resonate for general election voters. A Quinnipiac poll in late September showed 52% agree that stop and frisk is excessive. For WNYC, I'm Bridget Bergen.